Hello, friends. Does your community know your church as one that cares for the community? As a church that's for your community? In this episode of the Effective Church Leaders podcast, we want to talk about the importance of serving the community that you live in.
Yes. Hello, friends. We are Carrie and Becky Holton. Thanks again for tuning in today. As you probably already know, we have been in a podcast series entitled Community Outreach. For the last couple of months, we've been suggesting ways that you and your church can increase your outreach to those who are not a part of your church family. And with this week's episode, we are bringing this series to a close.
Screeching halt. That's right. This is the last episode in our series on community outreach. But I think it might be good for us to briefly review the ground that we've traversed in this series before we launch into any new content. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think our listeners would really appreciate that. So let's do that. In our first episode, number 162, we encouraged church leaders to develop an outward focus. Mm-hmm. To do that, we suggested churches do more teaching and preaching on the mission of the church. And what is that mission? Well, according to the Great Commission, it's to make disciples of all the nations.
And honey, I think it's important to emphasize something that we've been saying an awful lot the last few weeks. And what we're saying is that we exist for those who aren't here. And what we mean by here is the church family, even the Sunday morning assembly. If only we in the church could acknowledge that we are not here for ourselves, I think it'd make a difference. You know, we're just not here to serve ourselves. We are here in the church, in the assembly, for those who are not here. So most of us really need to lose our insider focus and develop an outsider focus and exist for those who aren't here, don't you think?
I like that. I like that. I think that's good. Episode number 163, it was about giving attention to the church's digital presence. Since the front door of the church these days is the church's website, Facebook page, or other digital content, churches that want to reach outsiders really should be using the digital tools that the Lord has provided in our day and age.
And in episode 164, we talked about designing the Sunday morning gathering with outsiders in mind. We asserted that there certainly is a connection between what happens in that Sunday morning gathering and outreach, that before outsiders decide to give the church a fair hearing, they will visit the church's Sunday morning assemblies. So we encourage church leaders to examine absolutely every aspect of that Sunday morning service, that Sunday service, through the eyes of a visitor or a guest. Included in this examination would be to do all that you possibly can do to design a compelling worship experience. You know, that is so important if you want to reach outsiders, in other words, people who are not here.
Yes. The fourth episode in the series was number 165, and it was all about giving special attention to your children's ministry. In this episode, we encouraged churches to schedule something for the children, especially those ages 2 through 5th grade, during the worship period. Well, to be more specific, we encouraged church leaders to schedule something for them, those children, during the sermon time. And that should be a time of learning for those kids, but also a fun time for them. Mm-hmm. And in addition, we urged that church leaders need to go all out to ensure the safety of the children. It's not only the right thing to do, but it's something parents will appreciate and actually they will insist upon.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said. Go all out for the kids. And then last week, we talked about the need to implement a guest follow-up strategy in episode number 166. We offered several practical suggestions for how churches might do this. And that brings us to this week and the last episode in our community outreach series. And this one is entitled Serve Your Community. And what we're encouraging in this week's episode is that your church become known in your community as a church that's for the community. And we are encouraging church leaders to not just aim for that reputation, but to actually become a church that serves their community. They go all out for the community too, I guess we could say.
Right. And honey, I think before we offer some recommendations for our listeners to consider, I think we should go to the scriptures to point out the legitimacy of serving the community. We're not going to take it for granted that all of our listeners would just automatically assume that this is something that a local church should be doing. Actually, we find many examples of this in the New Testament. I'm thinking of what Peter said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He noted that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's verse 38. What a wonderful summary of the life of Jesus. He went about doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And one good thing that he did was to heal the sick.
What a great summary of a life, going about doing good. And here's Matthew chapter 14. It tells of the time Jesus saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. This is the prelude to the story of the time Jesus fed about 5,000 men, besides women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I like this about Jesus. He saw human needs and he just did what he could to meet those needs. He saw sick people and had compassion for them. He saw hungry people and had compassion for them. Then his compassion for human beings in need compelled him to do what he could do to relieve their need. And I love that. That was so much good that he did.
Very good. Hey, if we're going to be like Jesus, and yes, mm-hmm. that is what it means to be his disciple, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We have committed ourselves to be like him. Then we have pledged ourselves to do what he did,
mm-hmm.
to serve people and to help them where we can. Then I think we could add passages from the New Testament letters to support the service of others. How about Galatians 6 and 10, for example? So then, Paul wrote, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Work for the good of all, Paul wrote. And take a look at a few passages in Paul's letter to Titus. Titus 2:7. Show yourself in all respects a model of good works. Titus 2:14. Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Titus 3:14. And let people learn to devote themselves to good works in order to meet urgent needs. Wow. One of the things we followers of Jesus should be devoted to is good works.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the scriptures teach that we Christians ought to be servants of others. It's pretty clear. And not just those in the household of faith, but also those outside of the body of Christ. So important. Well, honey, let's move on to some suggestions for how churches might serve their communities. Why don't you give us one?
I'd love to. I would say that first, church leaders might consider going to their civic leaders and asking them what they see as their community needs.
I like that one.
There would be at least 2 benefits to going to your town's mayor or city council, for example, and asking them to identify your town's needs. First, this may be the start of building a relationship with some of those civic leaders. It may be the start of building a bridge from the church to the community. And just going to those civic leaders and asking them about community needs will cast the church in a positive light. Maybe those who lead city government will begin to change their view of the church and see that the church wants to be good neighbors in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the second obvious benefit to going to those civic leaders and asking for community needs is that church leaders will get a clearer picture of some of the community needs that the church may be able to relieve.
You know, when you go to the mayor or the city council and ask what they see as community needs, you're probably going to hear a whole lot of answers. You might hear some things like, well, we have a homelessness problem, or we have a suicide problem among our high schoolers, or we have a drug problem or an addiction problem. You know, that sounds a little overwhelming when you start hearing some of that information, and your church probably won't be able to meet all of your community's needs. But you know, there will be something that you can do to address those problems, and often your community leaders can help you come up with ideas of things you can do, and there's some really great collaboration that goes on, because, you know, those aren't easy problems or they would have already been fixed. So I think they will just really be excited that there's someone that wants to step into those hard circles and try to help.
Yeah. Hey, I know of a church that has identified some of their community's needs, and as a result, they have pledged to host a couple of special events every year to address those needs. For example, they have identified some emotional health needs in their community, and as a result, they want to host a special event that addresses teen suicide, which is a problem in their particular community.
Well, a church could host events that address an untold number of pressing needs. You know, they could offer parenting help. That's a big need. Marriage enrichment, help for those maybe caught up in the addiction of pornography or drugs, financial issues. You know, that list could go on and on and on.
It could. And, you know, I think this is worthy of consideration, too. When you think about special events, think about presence before preaching.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. I mean, just serve people with the love of God.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there is a little bit of this is what's in it for you in this approach, but meeting human needs first, serving people first before preaching the gospel to them, gives you the opportunity to widen the net, if you will. Yes, a person's greatest need is the forgiveness of sins and hope that Jesus offers. So people need to hear the gospel of Jesus. But those people may not be ready to hear of the solution to their greatest need until other felt needs are addressed.
You really have to take care of some people's basic needs first so they can even hear something else.
I think so.
You know, we know of a church in Georgia that plans four such special events a year, and they call these events funnel feeder events, and they say that a win for them would be if, you know, maybe 18 to 20% of the attendees to these events are first-timers, and from there, they invite the attendees to join them on Sunday. They say they have seen about 20% of first-timers to those felt need events move on to the Sunday gatherings. What they say they do is, each year when they're planning out the ministry cycle, they ask themselves, what are four really important felt needs our community has? And by the way, they don't just make all those decisions, I'm guessing, around just a big conference table. They do their due diligence, and they talk to people who know what those communities need if they don't have all the answers. And they say they are trying to plan around what their insiders will feel comfortable inviting people to and what first-timers will actually come to when they plan those events. So they're very tuned into the community and how their people that are there in the church can plug in too.
I think that's so good. You know, I like the thought that they come up with a ministry cycle and that they ask, what are the four pressing needs in our community and how can we meet them? I really like that kind of intentionality.
I really like that.
Yeah. You know, speaking of churches in Georgia, I know of another church there that wanted to serve not their community but the people in Ukraine. They heard that the people there in that war-torn nation needed soap, shampoo, toiletries, and other household items, and so the leaders of this particular church decided to put together 1,000 buckets of these household goods and then ship them to Ukraine. And what they found was that when the community in which the church lived heard about the church's plans, many in the community, even those in other churches, wanted to help. Isn't that good?
Yeah, I think it was other agencies were involved too.
Yeah. You know, when all was said and done, the church, with the help of those who were not even a part of the church, filled up a tractor trailer full of goods to ship to Ukraine.
I like that story a lot. It reminds me that people who are not even part of our church may partner with us in many of the service projects that the church initiates. I mean, just imagine the good that might come from asking those in the community to help us serve others. And oftentimes that's the first step, is serving the community and helping people come to church and get to know
like
Jesus.
You know, I like that thought, honey, that, I don't think we often think of this, is that we certainly are on solid ground by asking people who are not even members of the church to serve with us side by side, shoulder to shoulder, in some special project that the church might initiate. I think that's a great idea.
Well, not only is it giving those people who may not have, you know, become Christians yet or even following Jesus yet, not only does it give them an opportunity to serve and to be a part of something good, they are partnering with someone that they're learning about who they are and what their goals are and what their mission is.
Right.
And they're already saying they want to be a part of that event, that service event. So maybe they want to be a part of the church that does this too.
And the serendipity of that is relationship building.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It goes back to the presence over preaching.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Of course, you know, there are many ways to serve one's community, right? I mean, holding special events that address the felt needs of your community or shipping household products across the globe to people in need are not the only ways to serve others. Mm-hmm. The churches could go to their neighborhood schools, for example, and ask school administrators what the church might be able to do to help them teach the children there in that school system. Mm-hmm. You might find yourself buying sneakers for the underserved, or you might find yourself tutoring students in math or science or what have you. Of course, you'd want trusted adults for that service job, for sure.
I could talk for a long time about that, just the importance of having a faithful, healthy person show up in a child's life who may be coming from a home that's struggling. That has profound implications for their adult life. There's so much more than just helping them learn to read, but we'll move on. I mean, other ideas is, you know, churches could make water available by the side of the road on a hot summer day for those who are maybe walking in a 4th of July parade, or we know of a church that does that. We know church groups that sometimes have water just at festivals or summer activities. They're just serving the community with, you know, just water, and yeah, it makes a big difference even when it's free.
Or a church could provide diapers and baby formula for unmarried mothers.
Mm-hmm. Or they could get involved in the community's foster care program. Mm-hmm. That is a really important one. We know of a church that discovered that their foster program was in dire need. They had children in the system sleeping in offices because there weren't enough. And getting involved in that in multiple ways is so important for a community's children who are at risk.
Yeah. You know, I guess there are probably hundreds of ways to serve others in our communities. We just need to put some thought to it.
Well, and open our eyes. Open our eyes and ask people that are in the know. And when we decide, you know, to serve those who might not be exactly like those or who may have a need that we don't have, just imagine the goodwill that it creates in a community. You know, I think it could change the way a community views the church and maybe even Jesus. We have read studies which show that growing churches are known for their known by in their communities as being for their communities. They're not isolated from their communities. They're not sequestered off in some building, but they're seen as servants of the communities. They can be counted on to help the communities. They may be the people that show up at a house fire and say, "We've got money to put you in a hotel and we can help you find a place to rent." I mean, they're the people that are there and they show up and they take care of important needs because they go about doing good just like Jesus did.
Yeah, proclaiming the gospel is not the only way to do the will of God, obviously.
Well, we just sometimes proclaim the gospel without words.
Yes, serving others. Others is also doing the will of God. And so friends, our word for this week, church leaders, fellow Christians, our word for this week is serve your community. Find a need and try to fill it. And who knows, doing so might open a door for evangelism, for leading some person to Christ. But whether it does or not, whether it results in a conversion or not, there is value in simply serving your community.
Mm-hmm. And it's being like Jesus and being part of a process in a person's life. None of us are helping a person from, you know, from start to stop in knowing Jesus, we sometimes are just part of that. Well, honey, I guess that'll do it for this week and for this series on community outreach. And friends, thank you for joining us for this series. And as always, we would love to hear from you. Your comments and questions are always welcome. And until next time, may God bless you abundantly as you commit to serving the people around you.